CliffCentral.com.
Yes, good morning, everybody. I say, did anybody get the their number that bus? Good morning.
I said, boy.
Who's that? What was his name? The rooster?
Foghorn Leghorn.
Foghorn. I say, a Foghorn Leghorn.
I say, boy.
Oh, man, I love that. Oh, that's the greatest. Foghorn Leghorn. Oh, man.
I think I mentioned it last show. They're bringing Animaniacs back.
Yes.
Which is terribly exciting. Do I sound normal?
You sound great. You sound very good.
Oh, thanks, man.
You sound all right. Sound bad.
I went to try to get one of those selfie lights.
Yes.
To do, and I couldn't find one that was the right size.
Oh. Here he is. Here's listen to Foghorn Leghorn. This will make your morning. Listen to this.
Bird houses is strictly for the birds. Now, let's see. Where was I? And our next contestant is ready to try for the $64 million. Careful now. Here's the question. What poem mentions the colors red and blue? When you come to the words red and blue, press the buzzer you have in the booth.
You know, these cartoons are brilliant, huh? They really were good.
Pardon my ignorance, where's this from?
Looney Tunes, wasn't it? Gord, we can't hear you suddenly. I don't know what's happened to you. You've disappeared off the radar.
I'm back.
There we are.
It's from back in the day, see? That's where it's from. This is like that old Looney Tunes rerun. Like Foghorn Leghorn was like the rooster responsible for looking after the chickens. But always had this like bizarre approach to reasoning with the wolf.
The fox.
Fox, that's right.
No.
Yeah, not my generation.
Well, you
probably
missed
about 20 years. I mean, this is stuff that existed when I was born.
This is old as hell. I mean,
when I watched them as a small kid.
I think that these were like the first kids' cartoons that they started putting on TV, Looney Tunes. And Foghorn Leghorn was one of the first characters. Sean says, morning, everybody. Have a nice show. Well, hopefully you'll be here to share it with us, Sean. Otherwise, there's no point. Venetia says, I just absolutely love this show. I listened to the start of it, she says, with AirPods on because I have a six-year-old running around. And she said, Mommy, there's a lot of swearing on that show you like.
Fair point.
Yeah.
We're not very six-year-old compatible, but we appreciate.
Yeah, if you didn't hear the start of the show, I started off with a song about finger-fucking Sally and pussy-eating Pamela. It's one of my favorite songs, so that's probably what she's referring to.
I have a group of my, you know, elder people in my life who listen. So even just like a lot of my friends' parents who listen religiously. Hey, but it's always awkward when it's like, oh, and you know your podcast.
It's like a lucky packet, but it's a lucky packet that has it has gold nuggets in it, but it also has bear traps. So you could stick your hand in it, could be bitten off by the bear trap. So it's really up to you.
Thankfully, my brothers are so sick and tired of hearing me talk 30 years ago already that they don't put it on in the house. Because I've always been like, my little nieces are like, oh, Uncle Gord's on the radio. I'm like, sort of, but not really.
One of those
radios that you listen to when you're older.
I don't know why. I don't know if it's the case with you guys, but my immediate family is the one who's so over everything that I do. It's just like,
they don't care.
There you go again.
Are they not that interested, Sia? They don't take pleasure in your success?
No, it's not about my success per se. It's just like, nah, you're talking again. There he goes.
Hey, like, Gord, I thought about you yesterday because it was so stinking hot, and I remember you saying this is one thing you can't stand about summer. And
I've got two fans on at the same time last night, what I call the maelstrom. I've got Gorgoroth, who's a big black metal fan, blowing, that's an aeroplane engine on a stick, blowing at me from the front. yeah. and a smaller household fan blowing at me from the side. And it creates this swirling vortex if you position yourself in it just right. Like, sound doesn't work properly. I think time goes a little bit faster. But yes, you sit there and you literally feel like you're in the middle of some sort of ecological disaster event, and it's fucking magic. You can't, everything just blows away. You can't roll a joint. You can't fucking anything. But it works. Shit go past you in circles like toaster.
Hang on a second. The big one is called Gorgoroth, and the other one is called?
There's like three or four. So the one that I've got, the big one is Gorgoroth because he's a big black metal fan. And then there's Russell and Hobbs, which is not terribly creative. And then Cortexafan, which is one of the fans in my bedroom. And then I've got the four micro fans. I've got four of these.
Oh, yes.
They plug into USBs and a battery pack to run two of them in case there's load shedding. I'm not fucking around this winter. Summer, no. I refuse to be hot.
That's amazing.
This is a serious operation.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not fucking about. I'm built for harsh winter climes of Antarctica. My people are insulated against the harsh European winter. I'm not built for freezing cold. I'm for boiling hot fucking weather. I can't stay in the Arctic for like 3 weeks.
You must be the only person I know who spends more money on electricity in summer than in winter, because
you don't care about heaters either.
Yeah.
They dry the air.
No,
they make my skin dry and my eyes puffy.
This is one of your best ideas yet. The fact that you have all of these fans around.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's like about a 40-meter open stretch from the front door to the car, so I've got to like be ready for that when it's time to go. And then I try and park close to places air conditioner.
So apparently, everybody, Gord is opening up a new subscription service today where you can actually see what's going on in his apartment. It's called OnlyFans. And and if you sign on now, there's a very small surcharge, and you can stay connected to him for the whole of summer. It's very exciting. Can't wait.
Yeah. I do the show for the fans and with the fans. I've only got one on at the moment. I don't know, you can't see it. It's sort of directly behind me, but it's praising and adoring me.
Well, I'm happy.
Yeah, affecting the sound is a big deal because I spent, an hour and a half, 2 hours yesterday with Greg at the office just sorting out our disgusting sound issues from yesterday because I was so annoyed. And I hope today it's all sounding really, really good because we were tweaking and turning and changing things. I took this desk all the way into the, not the desk that I'm actually, at, but the mixing desk. Took to the studio yesterday. We re-engineered that, got the microphone sorted out and tweaked. And now we hopefully don't have any sound issues. So you know how people were complaining yesterday. I hope today everybody says, oh, what great sound. Because I've been working at this like a son of a bitch. I've been working like a mine worker on payday to try and get this done. So,
they sound pretty good to me. I mean, what are the people complaining about? What do they bloody want, Gareth? Are they never satisfied? We all have fancy mics in our houses.
Mm-hmm.
All of us.
Mm-hmm.
It looks professional. Mm-hmm. Makes me feel fancy. And we that wasn't by accident. We went and purchased. This heavy machinery.
All we need to get for you is an influencer light so that we can...
Yeah, I need one for in front of me so you can see me.
Yeah, we can hang it there like Fairy Tinkerbell in front of you, and then we could see you properly. But that's it. Otherwise, everybody's looking good, sounding good this morning.
So it's just my video quality that's letting the team down, basically.
Well, it's not even so bad. So if you would like to watch us live, you can do that on cliffcentral.com. There is a link. You just go straight to it, click it, and you're in. And
OnlyFans.
OnlyFans for Gord, yeah. And then, if you want to listen to us, of course, there's all the old ways with the podcasts and with streaming live from cliffcentral.com or our own app, whatever you prefer. So there's lots of different options this morning. If you want to get hold of us, you can do that on the webinar jam, which is basically the software that we use to do this live visual part of the show. And if you want to send us some questions and you want to just add us to your WhatsApp, you can do that too.
That felt like those old ads that always used to like completely blow my mind with frustration when I was a kid, where on Mnet and then later DSTV, they they advertised to all subscribers on Mnet and DSTV how great Mnet and DSTV are and that you should subscribe now. Now, I realized later on in old age that that's because not everyone watching the TV is the person who paid for it at any given time. Mm. But adverts for DSTV on DSTV used to make me claw my face in like sheer frustration.
Things that run through your head.
The technology that you open a packet of Simba chips, and as you open it, it says, "You should try Simba chips." Like,
okay, Gort.
Gort, you see, you've been in advertising too long. There's a lot of stuff that irritates you that other people they're not even aware of.
You must try being a person who's like, who knows of advertising and is also into grammar. And just live in the world with menus and billboards and like not Al's Gourmet Chicken. God, they were lovely, but they've been gone for years. Muchachos. I can hardly shop in there because they just have spelling errors everywhere on their menu. I'm like,
oh, really?
Someone in your group must be literate. There must have been someone who was like, guys, that's not English. And then you could have said, oh, cool. Well, we're good at cooking chicken. None of us finished high school. Can you maybe check it for us? No, print them. Those are words. Print them.
And we can also tell that you live alone.
I live with Blackie Chan. Thank you very much. I'm subjugated under the queen of this world.
Okay. Well, Gord has something on the agenda this morning, which I suppose we could just step right into today. The most embarrassing story from school. Now, I'm always reminded of a few things that happened to me at school, but none of them were so bad that I had to change schools. I know some people, though, who've got the most horrendous stories, like they did things like, for example, they shat themselves in class.
Shitting yourself is the worst thing that can happen. Man. Aside from permanent disability and death, just beneath permanent disability, maiming and death.
Yeah. There was this guy.
Shitting yourself for any reason.
There was this guy at high school with me, and we were all sitting in assembly. And it was one of those moments where I think we were all doing – it was either a prayer or a moment of silence or whatever it was. So the whole school
belting out church bangers.
Dude, it was so embarrassing for him, but it was the one thing I will always remember him about him for the rest of my life. And what a shit thing to be remembered for. Because in that moment of silence, when everybody was dead quiet, he let this ripper of a fart go. And it reverberated around the room. And everybody knew it was him because they all turned around and looked in the direction of the fart. And because there was such good sound, the acoustics in that hall of our school were so good that you could immediately pinpoint the person who had made that sound.
You had one of those halls where the Christian soldiers keep going onward even after you finish singing. Man.
Yes.
People would sing.
He
just farted. People would sing in that hall and it would sound like the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. And so when he farted, it was like a thunderstorm that had erupted from his asshole. And everyone turned around and looked at him.
That's just a dude farting. It gets way worse than that. I mean, I don't want to hear any of the gory details from the homies, the listeners, about the times they've shat everywhere.
No.
But if it's a really good one, keeping the poo stories to a minimum unless they're very good, I want to know what happened. Because farting, I mean, yes, my friends would have laughed at me for a week.
Yeah.
Probably a nickname would have stuck for 6 months. And then I would have carried on with my life. And it would still be a story we tell today.
No, well.
But what happened to this homie? Was he already a little bit unloved?
No, he wasn't necessarily popular or unpopular. He was kind of one of those middle of the road guys, and I knew him quite well, and he was a funny dude, but he never lived this down. And it's still, I think, I haven't been to any reunions or anything, but someone told me at the last reunion it came up in someone's welcome speech or whatever, and that's 20 years later. Now, that's a bit embarrassing. If 20 years later the only thing they remember about you when they see you is that one time you farted in assembly. So that's what
that old joke, you build 1,000 bridges, but you fuck one goat and you become known as the goat fucker.
Right.
Not the bridge builder. There was a thing in high school where there was a kid, I was in standard 9, class 11, and so the matrix are 1 year older. And there was this younger kid in like standard 6 or 7 who I wasn't involved. I just heard all about it and it was true because it was one of those things that actually happened. Like, Oak went for a scormel in one of the little private bathroom cubicles,
oh,
and the matric dudes just bust in. Like, it was terrible. Like, the worst thing ever. But this kid was ridiculed, and, like, 2 weeks later, he wasn't at school anymore. And then I'm like, what happened to that kid in the matric all bully? Like, the one that was having a plague in the bathroom. They're like, no, he's gone to another school. Oh, I was like, oh, that's so terrible. I mean, that whole life must have been affected by that. But, I mean, also...
And then... What do you say to your parents as to why you're so unhappy and why you need to leave? Then you have to explain the story. That's cruel, really bad. Yeah,
Kids are brutal, like way more brutal. That kids are like an illiterate person on Facebook who someone that they kind of know once told them something was true. They fight to the death like
but
that.
But this is why I think that, you know, a lot of parents who are constantly looking out for their kids not to be bullied, and don't get me wrong, I'm not for bullying at all, but kids are cruel. You know, social media where someone goes, oh, you know, these people are being very mean to me on social media. Let me tell you something, it's nothing compared to the way people are in real life at school. Kids are merciless, and they never ever get better. And the younger they are, sometimes the meaner they are.
There's a tricky thing because I'm not for violence or bullying or anything like that, but it's almost like bullies are also the responsibility of no one standing up to them ever. Like nothing sorts a bully out like someone his own age and slightly smaller clocking him right in the mouth. Mm-hmm. The fact that life has not enough, like, I'm not saying violence is the solution, but there are certain things where violence is the outcome and should be. Mm-hmm. Like you should punch the mouthy kid in the face at some point in primary school. Like, not saying adults should beat these kids up. It's just we live in a world where the talk shit get punched in the mouth ratio is broken. Like, that's why people are so in love with banging out their keyboards on Facebook. Because no one can reach through the screen and punch them in the face. Public with your Facebook post written on a cardboard on a now, go stand in a busy mall with your Facebook comments written on a piece of cardboard and see how comfortable you feel standing there then.
Right.
Look, I think the thing of standing up to your bullies yourself makes a huge, huge difference. I was a person who was bullied so much during primary school. Oh, no. You see, like, and yeah, part of the bullying process is my embarrassing moments because I was bullied a lot and then I thought, you know what? I'm going to call my dad. Uh-oh. And so I went home and I told my parents. And I was like, Dad, you need to come to school. There's this group of guys. And he's like, okay, I will come. Well, it was a bit of a mistake because my dad has been consistently one of just the most chilled, zen, everyone must love each other guys. So he came to school
and reasoned with your enemies.
He not just reasoned, he befriended them. Why do you need to? And, like, mind you, he had this, you know, kumbaya moment in the morning in, like, the middle of the field just before the school bell starts. So now, firstly, everyone is watching, like, oh, there's a parent here. And so all the kids are watching and listening in. And he's like, no, you know, you can all be friends. Let's talk.
Oh, my God, no.
Like,
did it work or were they even more brutal the moment?
It made it worse because as soon as he left, they're like, see, his dad is a loser
big
too.
Pussy, yeah. Exactly. See, his dad is a loser and so is he. And look at how he was trying to reason with us. Fuck him. That's how kids are. They're horrible. So what happened to you?
Your dad's a friendly.
So, hang on. Gordo,
firstly is a very stupid thing.
What happened to you?
I learned how to stand up for myself.
What happened to you, Gord?
You know, I just lived life. I remember I spoke the wrong, like, for me, one of the most horrific things that ever happened was I spoke the wrong line in choral verse. So you had the whole class and they'd stand there and you had to learn to recite this whole story.
You've told us about
this. And then there were a few people that had their own lines. And I just was supposed to say my line and I said Michael Heath's line, which was the line after mine. And the whole group just didn't know what to do, and like, and they all stopped and kind of looked at each other, and then I sort of said my proper line again, and it was just bloody ruined, and we didn't win choral verse at all, and I was meant to be like the big lead part guy because I like a soliloquy, and I just fucked it up. And like, I've never died on stage. Well, actually I have at rock festivals, I have, but I haven't died on stage where I felt like the world needed to swallow me up and please can I just die. I think because of a lack of self-awareness, I'm sure I've done stupid shit like that again. I just didn't care. At that time, it was crushing. I felt like the biggest idiot in the world.
Oh, shame.
Mm. Yeah, I'm trying to think about really embarrassing things I did, but, you know, I didn't have one of those terrible moments like the ones you've just described, or, you know, where I got my parents involved or anything. I seem to have been able to walk that middle line between like the jocks and the real main guys, and then those, you know, the kind of nerds and losers and outcasts. And I had friends in all those groups, so I seemed to be able to, what would you say? It's almost like straddle the divide between
them. I could do that as well. I was nice to the nerdy kids, but friends with the Neanderthals. But I also remember once thinking we'd killed a kid. At Rivonia Primary School, there's this patch of land that right at the bottom, at the furthest end of the school, that now gets rented to the Opel dealership as a parking lot. But they decided they're going to put lawn on this gravel patch and make an additional field. So you were far away from the teachers. And they were like laying down, they were laying down those concrete irrigation pipes about big enough for a child to crawl into, or like a small adult. Like they're big concrete tubes that you lay like water infrastructure in. And so we managed to get a hold of one of these and we were rolling it down the bank.
It
was taking like four people to push it back up the bank. And then we started getting kids to go inside it and then roll it down the bank.
Okay.
And then Alec Berry wanted to have a go, but he was a small, slight of build kid that was also like a little bit picked on, but on the periphery. So he needed to volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
And so somehow the thing rolled over him. And he was absolutely fine, but he cried and screamed and everyone ran away. And for the next period between first break and second break, I was convinced that Alec Berry had died and that the teachers were going to find him at some point, and that was going to be it for all of us. But at second break, we saw him sitting having a cry and he was all right.
Well, listen,
that
listen
feeling
to
like
this.
You killed your first person and you could go back and do something about it. I've killed someone. That's it's over. That lived with me for about 3 hours, which in kid terms is like a year.
I don't know. I've never had that feeling that I killed someone.
No.
You, Gareth?
No, never.
I've been part of watching someone die more than actually killed someone. But Alec was fine. He just got crushed by a giant cement thing. I didn't stick around long enough to see if he was okay.
Benjamin says,
by the way, your memory is great. The fact that you remember these names and surnames.
Benjamin says, I pissed myself on the first day of Standard 6. Shame, that's terrible.
Standard 6.
Shit, that is horrible.
Right. Yeah. How long were you known as the oak that pissed himself? Does it still stick with you?
Caleb says, I had my new shorts rip in class on a casual day in school, including the new boxers. My whole life was out in the open during religious studies class.
Shorts and boxers. So you had your gear sticking out. You were holding your shit in your hand.
Mm-hmm. The whole thing.
Oh, no.
Hey, this is something, we'll get back to the embarrassing shit at school because there's still plenty of material to mine there. But I do have to get to this quickly because it's really, really bizarre. Dumi and who else is telling me about this? Bazitsan says, do you guys see that the SABC expects Netflix subscribers to pay for their TV licenses?
I saw that. Such a joke.
I mean, really.
This cannot happen.
That's a story.
Not a TV, it's a computer monitor.
Yeah, it's a true story from My Broadband, who are quite, you know, they've got a good reputation for not talking shit and spreading fake news. And apparently the SABC are expecting us to pay for a TV license, even if we don't have a TV, if we have a Netflix subscription. I mean, it's just unbelievable. So I'm doing this thing at home where I'm moving my TV room to another room and moving that room into the old TV room. And I'm just going to use the same TV, which I think I might have had a license for a long time ago. It's still somewhere on record because I know I paid that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not buying a new TV.
Just not going to pay. Like I've been not paying my TV license ever since I'm sure I've told the story, but for a long time, they chased me up sort of every 5 to 7 years. I'm expecting them to come back eventually.
Yeah.
But I paid once and that was me because I have two computers at the SABC, and those two computers don't speak to each other, nor do the people who use them and know about them have ever met each other. The one computer is people who we believe owe us a monthly TV license and are in backlog.
Right.
And the other computer is people who are paying their TV license. So I paid off like what was like a 3,000 Rand TV license debt when I was like 25, because apparently I was supposed to have one. So I paid it on condition that that was my account closed. They said, cool, your account's closed. I then years later got a notification that I owed the money, contacted the wrong computer, and they said, you don't exist, Mr. Laws. We don't have you on our computer owing us money or otherwise.
That is so silly.
You can't pay because you're not real. But a different computer sends me out a bill all the time.
But let's just remember that this is
I paid it for once and I'll never pay.
This is an organization that we've been paying for as taxpayers for the last, 10 years anyway. We've essentially been bailing them out. So I think this is outrageous, and we should just say no.
Where do they even get involved with Netflix? And why?
No,
people are no longer using their services. So now people are using an alternative. It's like the meter taxi wanting every Uber to give them $5.
It's not going to happen, I'm afraid.
I can't remember. It was
horses wanting to charge you a tax for having a car.
It was something I moderated a couple of months ago, some sort of conference thing, and was a panel about the future of media.
Mm-hmm.
And there were people in podcasting, there were people in from digital agencies, you know, so a lot of forward facing things. And then there was a guy with a very long and fancy title from the SABC who, bless his soul, but really was so out of his depth, because we're talking about streaming, we're talking about video on demand, we're talking about, you know, getting your content online. And he had to keep on substantiating how the SABC is evolving. And I could tell, he's having a hard time. Yeah.
Surprised. I'm really surprised. I don't want to sound like I'm bitter about it, because we left the SABC voluntarily and it was one of the best things I've ever done. But that place, I do not understand how they can even make a single rand off of A, their shit programming, and B, their terrible commercial model. I mean, they're hemorrhaging viewers and listeners every day. The only people who watch SABC are people who have no options. And even,
but to me, it is about the commercial model, because there's still huge chunks of people who still, you know, will watch or listen. But it's about how you access them. They're missing that.
It's just madness. I mean, they also apparently Annette says they're going to hand her mum over for a lack of payment. But her mother died 5 years ago. So this is also something that happens.
You know? I want to see a corpse go to court.
That's because your mom's not on the one computer.
Right.
She's on the OS Money computer, not the people who exist and can pay us computer. You got to get the right computer. The one's an old IBM Pentium 100, and the other is an Acer Celeron 250 with 256 megs of RAM.
Well, listen, you will only encounter a problem with these guys, because, I mean, you shouldn't have to pay for this, and I think they can get knotted. I don't care about the SABC surviving or not surviving. They do nothing to improve my life. And I think that it would frankly be a good thing if they went under, just like SAA. But it becomes...
Would we lose all of our glorious radio stations like Hot 91.1 FM if we...
Oh, Gord's favorite radio station. What's that?
Hot 91.1 FM.
Well, Hot is not under SABC.
Okay, well, then we're fine. Then they can shut the SABC
down. That's not clear.
I'm using this as a stepping stone to get to
Hot 91. Yeah, I knew it.
I call this Lukewarm 100, and I'm going for Hot 101 or whatever.
Gord, so desperately. All Gord has ever wanted is to work with Jeremy Mansfield.
Hot 91.1.
That's all he's ever wanted.
So the SABC is lightning.
Jeremy, please can have a job.
Well, sit down, son, and drink these six beers while we wait for the restaurant to open. And I'll tell you about the magnificent opportunities you can get being Hard Eddie on our show. Think of how amazing it'll be. You'll reach so many people.
Shit, that's funny.
I kind of already work for Gareth. With Gareth, we're friends, we talk. Yes, that's very nice. You can still do that, but you must do it for us.
It's so good.
Why can't you serving beer? We're not open, so it's 9.
But you know when it becomes a problem with the TV license is when you have to buy a new TV. That's when they, because they won't sell you a television anywhere in South Africa. I mean, I even went to a secondhand store and they wouldn't sell me a TV unless I paid.
Yeah, really? I might have allegedly had to allegedly phone my alleged brother in a story that cannot be, I probably is making all of this up to impress people, but I might have just phoned my brother and asked for his TV license number. I mean, he probably would have said no if that was true because he's an honest, upstanding guy, but that might have worked. Just quote someone in your family.
Yeah. Someone suggested, Basitsana says, someone suggested that it's simple. You cancel Netflix SA, then you subscribe to a VPN and you connect to Netflix USA.
Tunnel Bear. Yeah. Get Tunnel Bear.
Tunnel
Bear. $500 is free, and it's a low, low monthly subscription for all the VPN tunneling that your little heart could desire. But That's a good idea. Subscribe to an overseas streaming service.
Right.
And all you have to do is just let your computer believe you're in the wrong country, and they send you the Netflix for that country. It's a pretty good idea in South Africa, too, because there's a lot of stuff we don't get. Why? Because it's embargoed by places like Showmax and DSTV and even, dare I say it, the SABC.
Right. Well, here's a funny story. This is from MR. I was in matric, and it was the annual derby day against our arch rivals. Was watching the under-16s on one of the lesser fields that doubled up as a parking lot on that day when the main event was on. I was speaking to the headmaster when there were screams and huge consternation. Just then we noticed that there was a car whizzing through the center of the field and through the players, kids flying out of the way and the ball bouncing off the windscreen. It was my mother. The headmaster was apoplectic, but thankfully didn't know my mom, who had thought that she would get a good parking before the big event. So she just drove through kids. Jesus. I hope that is
she drove across the sports field right to find a better parking.
Yeah, how's that?
And just own her.
Her car and mom. No, I'm sorry. I'm sure your mom's lovely, but that is a proper car and
that's a massive car and
you just own your mother after that.
Well,
I don't know. It could be worse. You could have shat your pants. Like, that's what you just got to have. Like, you know, people who get like, you know, Carpe Diem or This Too Shall Pass or some super profound original thing to remind them that life could be worse.
Yeah.
I get, did you poo your pants? Question mark. And then he's like, whenever anything goes, I mean, one day things will go horribly wrong and you'll poo your pants. And then you'll know, okay, I'm allowed to sit and cry and have a moment. I'm allowed some Haagen-Dazs. I'm gonna watch a Sleepless in Seattle on my own, and I'm just gonna forget about myself for a while because I pooed my pants at the office or work or school or something.
Crap in your pants is really the great leveler.
I think that is the one. That is the worst one. My friend
sharted in the lips at Satin City.
Sharted.
I think I've told the story before. His name might be Graham Armstrong, but I wouldn't say that because it's quite private. But,
yes, you did. You did tell us that.
In the banking mall at Sandton City, where all the banks are, there's a parking lot that's I haven't frequented Sandton in 15 years, but I used to. So I used to know where the better parkings were. And so above the banking mall, there's like an open air parking that's quite quiet and you get a decent parking. And there's this little like lift that just sort of drops you off in the weird part of the center. So he's power walking to that lift, knowing that there's a fart on board and it might be worse. And then he gets to the lift, and as it's about to open, he tries to gently release a little pressure whistle and shots a golf ball-sized ball of feast. And then the doors are closing, and as they're closing, people come and like stop the lift and get in. You're in a lift with only Oak who was in there when you got in. You know it's not you, and it smells like human feast. And you gotta sit there and quietly ride the lift, hoping it doesn't fall down your leg, and just get out and power walk to your car. I got a friend that got out of his car in bumper to bumper traffic once on Bowling Road and had an emergency poo. Bowling Road's a single lane road. He was at that part where you've just passed King David High and you're like sitting in bumper to bumper traffic. It takes like 45 minutes to do this 2 kilometers of road. You can't pull over. You can't. There's like a hard pavement. You can't pull off the road, and you're not going anywhere. So he had to. It was either in the car or out of the car. So he hung his bum. He opened his door, hung his bum out of the car, had an explosive, and then closed the door and turned around, went home, got changed, and went back to work again. I don't know if this is true. This is entirely hearsay, but I remember there was rumors going around, and obviously not substantiated enough rumors to print. But apparently a more of a Tony did that once as well. That's like pull over in traffic and go run for a bush. But that is entirely a rumor.
No.
That was just something that the people at Heat, whose offices were next to FHM when I was younger, they used to talk about, haha, if only we could print about that. That may not have been true at all, but that was just something I believed.
She might have
next to a gossip magazine.
She might have shat. That's incredible. right on the road.
Yeah, to do like a park and run. Not like my mate who literally just hung his ass out of the car. This was a park and run. But again, purely hearsay. Imagine it, though.
So I'm aware of time.
Yes, we've got to get to the headlines.
First step to being conscious.
Let's do the headlines because we're already like 10 minutes late here. So let's go.
And in the news today, over to you, Gareth and Sia.
Sentencing of Mahatma Gandhi's great-granddaughter has been postponed to December. You might not even know about this, but Ashish Lata Ram Gobind was fraud and forgery amounting to 6.5 million rand on Monday in the Durban Commercial Crimes Court.
Forgery, as we call it.
She is a great-granddaughter of Mahatma Gandhi. And she allegedly swindled a businessman in Durban by claiming that she had won a 20 million rand tender to supply the Netcare Hospital Group with linen. However, an investigation revealed that the tender was never advertised or awarded. And the matter was set down for today. However, sentencing will take place. And she is a crook by the looks of things. This is Mahatma Gandhi's great granddaughter.
That family's really Gandhi to the dogs.
The fact that you love the most. Sorry, God. I didn't even find that one funny. Not to say that Mahatma Gandhi was perfect, but it's quite a stretch to associate his great granddaughter with him. She doesn't even share his surname.
A person who several generations ago was related to somebody awesome's crime is more or less important as a result of their lineage.
Yeah.
Old Laws committed a similar crime, but his grandparents aren't famous, so fuck him.
But didn't your grandfather know Christopher Robin?
He did, actually. That story is true. Some details of Christopher Robin's life were embellished, but the gist of the story was entirely true. Yes, they did.
Okay. So in Lagos, in Nigeria, authorities have declared a 24-hour curfew as violence flared up in widespread protests that have rocked cities across the country. Lagos' state governor announced that only essential service providers and first responders would be allowed on the street from 4 p.m. He said, "I have watched with shock as how something that began as a peaceful protest has degenerated into a monster that is threatening the well-being of our society," he wrote on Twitter. "Lives and limbs have been lost as criminals and miscreants are now hiding under the umbrella of those protests to unleash mayhem on our state. We will not allow anarchy in our state." So these protests, remember, they began about 12 days ago over the Special Anti-Robbery Squad, SARS. So it's not like our revenue service, but similar acronym.
Everything that gets called SARS is some miserable shit. It's our tax service or a terrible contagious disease or the anti-robbery squads that are clearly not being great over in Lagos.
And apparently 18 people have already died in the demonstrations as clashes have been reported between protesters and assailants dressed in civilian clothes. So these are ordinary people who've got into the mix and started causing trouble. And then another story which has been very disturbing. You know, the teacher in France who was beheaded.
Whoa, just go back a step, yeah?
There was a teacher who was beheaded in France.
Remember that this is the only reason I do the show at this ungodly time is because once a week, oaks that care about news talk about news and I get to be caught up. So okay. I don't know anything about
it. Well, let me tell you what happened. There was this guy called Samuel Paty who was killed on Friday. And he was killed by a Muslim extremist, a guy called Abdullah A. That was his name. They haven't released his surname yet, but apparently this teacher was having he was getting a lot of attention from the kids in his class. And one of the kids launched an online campaign against the teacher, and then he was beheaded sometime after that by this Muslim extremist.
Don't like him, he gives us too much homework type of campaign, or like, well, he's got a religious problem and we don't like him because he thinks differently than us.
So the teacher had shown controversial cartoons of the Prophet Muhammad to his pupils. The 48-year-old father, who has not been officially named, is accused of issuing a fatwa against the teacher, and he found out about this from his kid who was in the class. Tens of thousands of people took part in rallies across France over the weekend, to honor the teacher and defend freedom of speech. A silent march was held on Tuesday evening in the suburb northwest of Paris, where he was killed. A man named as an 18-year-old Abdullah A was shot by police after killing Mr. Paty on Friday. And Mr. Paty was, what, 47 years old? And everybody's just horrified by the fact that this happened. But it turns out the father of this pupil is reported to have exchanged a number of text messages with the killer prior to the attack. So this father was egging the killer on. You know, therefore, he's an accessory to murder.
Yeah, I mean,
geez, so it's sort of escalated.
For 2 hours, I thought we killed Alec Berry. This kid must have to live with it like shit. You know, you went and complained to your dad and he zenned the students. This kid must be like, oh, shit.
I shouldn't have told dad about this Muhammad cartoon. My teacher would still be alive.
I mean, it's terrible. And it's just another example of killing people because they don't think the same as you. And it's like, how idiotic. How small-minded do you have to be to think the world is so simple that you can understand it?
Well, I think a story like this is the perfect example of what you can look to as a dividing line in humanity. If you know someone who actually thinks that this teacher deserved to be killed, or that the people who beheaded him, or the one person who beheaded him, should get away with it, or that they had even a slight case, you know, like blasphemy is a crime or whatever, you're a bad person in my book, and there's no rehabilitating you. There's no daylight between me and free speech on one hand and you thinking that blasphemy is a substantial enough crime that someone should be beheaded in 2020. So
also,
I'm sorry,
those
people must be consigned to the rubbish bin of humanity.
Isn't the theory also that your god or whatever, your sky fairy is going to sort them out himself eventually anyway? Like,
no.
Shouldn't you rub your hands gleefully like the Westboro Baptist Church?
Yeah.
So excited to be able to sit and watch the hell torture.
Well, this is what you would think. You would think, well, God will take care of that because God is so sensitive and prickly that he'll be upset by blasphemy to the extent that this person will be punished for eternity, which is a lot worse than the beheading, you would imagine.
Also, if the Chronicles of God, Volume 1 are to be believed, the oak can smite whole civilizations when they're
put
off.
But no. But these people go, no, God needs me. You know, of all the things in God's list of things that he wants to achieve, the one thing he just cannot do without your help is to punish a blasphemer, obviously.
The oak drowned the entire world before the unicorns were even on the ship. They did nothing wrong. They were just at the back of the queue, alphabetical order and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know.
Right.
You just wiped them out because I think they were gunning in the north. I don't know what they were doing wrong. But like, he had no problem with that. Now you need to behead someone on his behalf because they're showing the wrong cartoons in school.
Yeah.
And how little faith do you have in your God? He uses floods to slap people.
Mm-hmm.
Look, and I don't mean to be so gruesome, but beheading, man.
I know, it's such a
He didn't shoot from afar. No. He didn't light a house on fire.
It's so ugly. Oh, my God. All right, so listen to this while we're talking about beheading, because you remember what they did to Jamal Khashoggi? Remember they cut him into pieces and they still haven't found his body, I think. They tortured and murdered him, and it was one of the most shocking things in the world in the year 2018. Anyway, it turns out that there's a Turkish citizen and a human rights group that Khashoggi formed before his death, and they are actually going to sue Mohammed bin Salman, who's the Prince of Saudi Arabia, and 28 others for damages over the 2nd of October 2018 killing of the US-based writer. The fiance of the journalist as well, that's Jamal Khashoggi's fiance, is suing the Saudi Arabian Crown Prince and other officials. And they're suing them in a U.S. court, which means that he will then have to be, he'll have to take that action up in America, seeking damages for his brutal murder in Istanbul 2 years ago. So not over yet. And if he thought he got away with it, he didn't. He's going to have to pay.
That's some Istan bullshit right there.
That's some Istan bullshit, right. Half of all work tasks will be handled by machines by 2025. In a shift likely to worsen inequality, a World Economic Forum report has forecast, the think tank said a robot revolution would create 97 million jobs worldwide But
no,
yes,
because we're going to program them to think like us, and so that the computers will have endless meetings with each other, and the whole infrastructure, like they'll make a meeting, and then the other one will be like, yes, and we'll have a meeting about your meeting,
yeah.
And then two other robots will be like, to justify my programming, I need to be in that meeting, and first we must have a meeting, and then they'll just be meeting each other about meetings constantly, and the humans will get to reset civilization with the robots infinitely distracted.
So they say that 97 million jobs will be created, but it will destroy almost as many, leaving some communities in risk. Routine or manual jobs in administration and data processing were most at threat of automation, but it said new jobs would emerge in care, big data, and the green economy. The forum's research spanned 300 of the world's biggest companies, who between them employ 8 million people around the world. More than 50% of employers surveyed said that they expected to speed up the automation of some roles in their companies, while 43% said they were likely to cut jobs due to technology. So if you are unskilled labor, and if you think that your job can be protected by your union, you have got bad news for you. Millions of people will need to be reskilled to cope with the change.
Yeah. They had the same problem when people who shod horses for a living had to deal with a motor car.
Or when the SABC asks you for a TV license in 2020.
Yeah, when Netflix invented Netflix were invented, the SABC went the way of the Tyrannus Rex and the Dodo.
Yeah. Did you say Tyrannus Rex?
I also heard that.
Whatever happened to good old-fashioned values? They go the way of the Tyrannus Rex and the Dodo. Whatever happened to lying on the grass with a bunch of your friends and enjoying the good things in life, like a new pack of cigarettes and a strong cup of coffee? Guess you have to be there.
Gord and DPS says, morning, guys. Please recommend more excellent series. I've just finished The Boys and Norseman. What else can I watch?
Okay, so you must have Amazon Prime. You need to watch The Man in the High Castle. That's properly brilliant. If you like sci-fi, The Expanse, not if you don't. I really enjoy Sneaky Pete, and there's a couple of really good ones on Prime. But I've just started watching Fargo season 4, but it's coming out one episode at a time, and they're only 5 episodes in, and I have to wait each week. But that's really, really good. That's got Chris Rock in it, so that's fun at the moment.
I've got a very important request here, Gord, and we've got a bit of time, so you can do it. Duncan says, can Gordon please sing the Decimal Dan song, the Ront Cent Man song? We love it so. So let's refresh your memory first. Here it is. All right. Here it is. This is the Ront Cent Man song.
Decimal Dan.
Yeah, listen, here it comes. It's from Dan Hill in his orchestra.
Are you playing it or am I singing it?
No, here it is.
Decimal Dan, the Ron Cent Man, gives you cents for pennies whenever he can. 1 cent for a penny and 2 for 2.
And 2.5 for a dicky.
And notes and silver are worth the same.
Remember, it's just a change in their name.
Decimal Dan, the Ron Cent Man, gives you cents for pennies whenever he can. 3 cents for 4, for 5.
And 5 cents are worth a sixpence.
Any fucking sense. It's like, give us 1 for 1 and take 1 for 1, 2 swaps for 2 and 5 for 6. But if you give us 3, you get 4.5 because fuck you and your sense. Like, if you listen to the words, it's like you swap a penny for a penny and a cent for a cent. It's like suddenly you start like getting exchange rates going. You know, that must have been like, cool, guys, we've got to communicate. We're changing the money. Okay, cool. That's easy. We'll write a little ditty. But you swap 1 penny for 1 cent, a tuppence for 2 cents, and a threepence for 4 cents. And for 5 cents, you get 6 pennies. Okay. Decimal Dan.
Well, while we're talking about money, this is a great Powerball. I dreamt about this last night. The U.S. Powerball draw tomorrow at 5 a.m. South African time. The special payout offer only on Lotto Land for the month of October. It's now standing at 6.5 billion rand with a B. 6.5 billion rand.
Some of my problems.
Jesus, would it solve problems? Remember to also try the bundle bet offers that Mareka told us about the other day, where you get more chances to win. Don't miss out on this extraordinary payout only on Lotto Land. Go to lottoland.co.za. If you're not a Lotto player, obviously you don't. I'm going to talk you into it. But if you like this, if you're an inveterate gambler, you can go ahead and do this. But if you're also just someone who feels like winning, I don't know, 6.5 billion rand, That would be a very nice thing to happen. Lotto Land, of course, are licensed with the Western Cape Gambling and Racing Board. You have to be 18 years or older to place a bet. Winners know when to stop. The National Responsible Gambling toll-free counseling line is 0800-006-008. Go along to Lotto Land, and you can win 6 billion rand.
Would be so grand. I would have many servants, and none of them would have
none of them would have what?
First names.
I like that word you used, Gareth.
What? Inveterate.
Inveterate.
Oh, there's another.
Did you just look it up? Did you do it?
Yes, I did.
Gord, don't you know this is how the show works? Sia keeps a notepad in front of him and he takes down a word of the day. One of these days we're going to publish that book, Sia.
Having a particular habit, activity, or interest that is long established and unlikely to change. Inveterate.
Yes.
Inveterate.
So,
as in of vector.
Yeah.
As in, okay. Inveterate. Surely okay. It would be vectorate. If you were on a long path of knowing some shit.
This is an interesting story, and we've got a little bit of time. Who is Jeffrey Toobin?
I read about it this morning. He is a longtime legal writer. I forgot for what publication in New York. And he was on a Zoom call.
Oh, my God.
And he started masturbating on the Zoom call.
Jesus.
With his video on. His statement and apology, he now says, I'm so sorry to my wife and to my kids and to everyone who had to see this. I thought the video was off.
Well, listen
he
to
was
this.
Waiting for the meeting to end so that he could beat one out. Like, yeah, the ex feeling his wait. Heartbeat so strongly in his crotch that he's like, the moment I hang up this call. Okay. And then he just minimized
listen,
the window.
Listen to this, Gord. So the New Yorker magazine has suspended longtime staff writer Jeffrey Toobin after he exposed himself during a virtual staff call last week over the messaging platform Zoom. Jeffrey Toobin has been suspended while we investigate the math. I mean, what do you need to investigate? Everybody saw it. There's no investigation required, right? What are you going to investigate? What he was
even
watching?
If there were no legal repercussions or work repercussions, I would just resign, change my name, and move to a place where they don't speak English. Regardless, even if they said, hey, buddy, accidents happen. Look, write a little email, CC everyone, say how sorry you are. We actually all feel pretty bad for you. Don't worry, pal, it'll be fine. I'll be like, don't know who this Gordon Oak is you're talking about.
Well, this guy was also, he was employed by CNN as their longtime chief legal analyst as well. So he's going to be absent from CNN as well. Jeff Toobin has asked for some time off while he deals with a personal issue.
That's an expensive wank.
He did what he did.
You just had a wank. Like I've said before, there's two types of people in this world, those who masturbate and liars. Everyone does it. He fucked himself and life fucked him at the same time. He was gangbanged by himself and life.
Wow.
No, Gord, but I think this is a step further. I'll say I'm not judging, but if it sounds judgmental, so be it. I'm glad I don't have one of those bordering on freaky or freaky sexual behaviors. I don't think it's just masturbating. I think he has one of those things of, oh, it's the thrill of I could get caught, boy. And it's the risk of it all.
Back one under the table if you aim your camera right. I do it during the show almost every week. You don't know. I just go a bit quiet and get this look on my face, and then usually go for a week.
If you really just wanted to, you would cover your bases. You'd make sure that your video is off. You'd cover your webcam. You'd stay quiet. But I think it is it's no investigation needs to happen. Perhaps it's like a voyeur or something. Is that the right term? Voyeur or whatever?
I think you misunderstood.
Exhibitionist.
He just misread work from home and saw wag from home. Got the memo wrong.
Well, there it is. That's the noise. If you're wondering what's going on in the background here, it's Gord. That's so good. All right, very nice. That's fine. That'll do.
And, you know, I think about this gentleman who once came into Cliff Central because he was a the sub to a dominatrix woman.
Oh, right.
So it was the times of the sex show, and mm-hmm. Jonty was pre-recording the show with this dominatrix woman. But part of the humiliation process that they go through is the fact that the dominatrix can call him up at any point. And this very respectable looking man,
yeah.
I'll say he's middle age, probably looks like an accountant or works at some law firm, had to come into our studio and he whispered, you know, he came up to, I can't remember who I was with, but he said, yeah, I'm looking for a bowl of water or something. I'm like, excuse me, a bowl of water?
I heard such an interesting, he wanted a dog's bowl. He wanted a dog's bowl with water in it. Now, I've got an interesting theory about these guys because they're all rich white men, all of them. They're rich white men. And none of the poor people ever go to a dominatrix. Nobody whose life is actually hard. No. See, nobody whose life is really difficult gets to go to a dominatrix.
I'm
because
not being judgy. I just think it's weird to go on the radio.
They are the ones who they get beaten up every day in their jobs in any case. They have a shitty time. They get told by their asshole of a boss what to do. So they know what it feels like to be dominated. And they don't need to pay money for that. But these really, really successful hedge fund guys and investment bankers and people who are dealing with huge amounts of money, they choose to put themselves in a position where they can be dominated because for them, they get none of that in the real world. And there's something about...
But it's going on the radio and being like, letting the whole world know. I just feel like it's a little bit like, it's not that people shouldn't do whatever they want. It's just, it's a difference between having this private relationship with your dominatrix and going on, you know, broadcasting to an unlimited audience about it. It makes me feel a bit like, oh, that's, I don't know, horrible, mean.
No, well, that's part of it. It fuels that I'm going to be humiliated. Mm-hmm. I have to be ashamed. That feeling is what matters to me.
And I wouldn't want to listen to it, but hey.
So, Sia, did you...
To his company.
Did you get the guy a bowl of water?
Hell to the no. I think it was Greg or something, because he's our... You know, station manager, I said, Greg can deal with it. I sat in the corner, I did my little Hail Marys, I spoke to, you know.
Specifically a bowl or just any vessel of water.
No, he wanted a dog's bowl.
It was a dog's bowl.
And you bring your own dog's bowl. I mean, you don't expect people to cater that shit.
Part of the process was having to bend down and lap up water from the floor like a dog in front of this dominatrix.
And the people of the radio station.
I don't know how.
Moving right along. What else is in the news, GG?
No, that's all we got time for in this hour. We'll get to some more a little bit later on, but I know this is a special request from Gordo this morning. It's from one of my favorite songs. California Love, it's Tupac. Ah, beautiful. You know, this song is, how old is this? I mean, it must be from
1996. I'm betting. Steele will have to Google it for us, but I'm guessing California Love by Tupac and Dre came out in 96. 95 or 96.
Okay, so Tupac, this song, 1996, it still sounds good. It still sounds, mm-hmm. It has not dated at all. It's still good. In every sense of the word. All right, we'll come
1995,
95, there we go. Perfect, Gordo. Almost on the money. Almost. You would have nearly won that.
So nearly on the money.
Yeah, you would have almost won that 6.5 billion rand, but just one number short, you know?
Unfortunately.
All right.
Still a good time,
CliffCentral.com. It is a Wednesday morning. Gord Laws is here. Sia Sangweni, me, you, and you can send us a message on 0797482090. Watch us live. Just follow the link on CliffCentral.com. Here's some Tupac for you because you've earned it.
CliffCentral.com.